Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
Good morning, KSJD. This is Sam Carter, and you are tuned into another edition of The River Trip. Today is Thursday, July 9th. Welcome to the show. The River Trip is sponsored by Dolores River Boating Advocates. You can find that organization at dolorisriverboating.org. A few pieces of news. In Alaska, a proposed dam on the Talkeetna River has been denied a permit by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. This dam would have been a 370-foot-tall beast for hydroelectric purposes, and it would have been set in the middle of a great overnight whitewater run. Here in Colorado, the celebration for Browns Canyon National Monument will happen July 18th in Chaffee County. The official party will be 3 to 5 p.m. in Buena Vista at the Play Park. There'll be lots of government officials from D.C. and Denver and around the state coming for this. It's a big party to celebrate this big event, and we'll actually be talking more about that that national monument here on the show today. And the last piece, the Dolores River above McPhee is still flowing at 740 CFS. The Dolores River has been boatable, has had boatable flows this season in April, May, June, and July. Get out there and enjoy that. So today's show, folks, we're going to talk about federal protection of rivers in Colorado. The first half of the show is going to be about Browns Canyon National Monument, and the second half will be about the proposed NCA, the National Conservation Area, for the Dolores River Canyon below McPhee Dam. On the phone with us today is Bill Dvorak. He is the proprietor of Dvorak's Rafting, Kayaking, and Fishing Expeditions based over on the Arkansas River right next to the Browns Canyon National Monument. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, really glad you're here. So, Bill, tell us, please, where is Browns Canyon? Explain this place.
Well, Browns Canyon is a section of the Arkansas River that's located midway between Buena Vista and Salida, Colorado. And it's basically about a 20-mile section, and 14 miles of it has been designated as a national monument just recently in February.
Okay. And what was the status of that land before it was designated as a national monument?
Well, a lot of the land adjacent to the river was actually in what they called the Wilderness Study Area, BLM Wilderness Study Area. So it was sort of de facto managed as wilderness until either there was some sort of congressional change to the that status one way or the other, either confirming that it was wilderness or taking that status away.
And so what does this national monument status do for Browns Canyon?
Basically, it gives us permanent protection for that area, which we've been trying to do for well over 20 years. And back in the mid-70s, there was about 140,000 acres to the east of Browns Canyon that was identified as potential wilderness. And then over the years, it's been whittled down to, we're now down to a 22,500-acre postage stamp, in my opinion, that actually has that sort of permanent protection. And while not all of it is wilderness, about half of it is wilderness, or I guess an Antiquities Act cannot designate wilderness, but it sort of keeps that wilderness study designation in place, and that now can't be changed. And then the rest is managed by the Forest Service, which is basically Tier 1 roadless, but there is one cherry-stem four-wheel drive sort of into the center of the Browns Canyon National Monument.
So what you're talking about so far sounds like a lot of land that's being protected. Is there any change in protections or governance of the water that flows down the Arkansas River with this new proposal, with this new national monument?
There actually is not. That was actually specifically outlined in the both the Antiquities Act and also the legislative act that Senator Udall originally sponsored, is that, you know, all the water rights and those kind of things that are in place remain in place, And most of that is managed by the Arkansas Headwaters Recreation Area. And we actually have a very good relationship with them as far as how we manage the water on that river for recreation. We have what we call a voluntary flow program where they try to keep the level of the river up to 700 CFS through the middle of August, starting sometime in the first part of July as it's needed. Obviously, this year we have no need for that because we're still running almost 2,000 CFS through Browns. But in years like particularly 2012 and 2002 when we had big droughts, those were very important to us so that we had some sort of runnable flows. We had to go ahead and adjust a little bit because we didn't have as much water in those years as we typically have. But we have a very good relationship with the Southeastern Water Conservation District and the folks who manage the water.
So this level of protection is coming from the White House all the way in D.C. Obama, the president, has signed this into its new status. What was the impetus? Why did the people in the state of Colorado and the Arkansas River Valley feel that it was so important to push so hard to get Browns Canyon to have this national monument status?
Well, again, like I say, this has been a well over a 20-year process, and all the previous attempts to protect the area were to actually designate it as a wilderness area. And we got very close back in 2005 and 2006 when we had our local Congressman Joel Heffley actually introduce a piece of legislation that got through all the committees and was actually being set to be voted on the House floor. And then Congressman Heffley was also a member of the Ethics Committee, and he was censuring one of the Republican congressmen for some things that he did that he considered unethical. And sort of in response to that, they delayed the vote on the bill, and it never actually made it to the House floor to be voted on. And he retired that year, so there was not a chance to reintroduce legislation in the next session. And that's the closest we ever got before, until Senator Udall went ahead and developed his legislation. And he actually wrote his piece of legislation as a national monument. And I think was thinking that if he couldn't get it through the legislative process and get bipartisan support, then maybe one of the things that would happen is the president would look at it and consider it for an Antiquities Act designation.
Ladies and gentlemen out there in listening land, if you're just tuning in, this is the River Trip here on KSJD. We're talking with Bill Dvorak. He's been a big part of the Browns Canyon National Monument being developed on the Arkansas River in the state of Colorado. Bill, we just got a couple minutes left. I'd like to talk about recreation. The Arkansas River is a huge recreation place for people in Colorado and from all around the country. What's the economic and cultural value of recreation on the Arkansas River over there?
Well, again, the Arkansas represents about 40% of all the rafting that's done in Colorado, and the Browns Canyon gets about half of that. And there's about 191,000 user days on the Arkansas, and again, about 100,000 of that is on the Browns Canyon section. And so that generates about $61 million in economic turnaround here and, you know, up and down the resource. And about $30 million of that happens, again, between sort of Buena Vista and Salida. So it's a big part of our economy here. And in Colorado, I think we have about 500,000 user days all up, and we generate about $160 million worth of economic impact. So in every instance where we have a good river system, it really does affect the economy of those towns and areas that are adjacent to it. And I don't know if you want me to say this, but I'm going to talk a little bit about the Dolores. The Dolores happens to be one of my favorite rivers, and back in the day when it was runnable, I had more commercial use on the Dolores than all the other commercial outfitters combined. And I've always considered that to be, in my opinion, one of the three best river trips in the country. And it's really too bad that, you know, it can't be at that same status as the Grand Canyon or the Middle Fork of the Salmon. If we could just get a reliable flow in there, it would be one of the best resources we have in this country.
So hearing all that, I recognize you've been involved. I know you've been involved for a long time. You were previously with the Dolores. The next half of the show is about the Dolores. What's one real solid piece of advice you could give to the group over here working on creating some national protection?
Well, again, you know, the biggest thing is if you want people to see that and appreciate it, there's got to be some sort of a reliable, consistent flow of when, you know, when water's available. They can't be dropping it up and down like they currently do willy-nilly. just at the whim of sort of the people that control the water. You've got to have a system where you know that, you know, you've got 10 days or 14 days or 30 days or whatever you have of reliable, runnable flows. So that's what you got to aim for.
Yeah. All right, Bill, we're going to wrap the first half there. This is Bill Dvorak on the line with us from the Arkansas River Valley. He's been a huge part of the Browns Canyon National Monument being developed to further protect the lands and the river valley over there. Bill, thanks so much for coming on the show with us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you inviting me. Thanks.
Okay, take care. Folks, welcome back to the River Trip here on KSJD. Again, today is Thursday, July 9th. At the second half of the show today, we're going to have a conversation with Amber Clark. Amber is the chair of the Legislative Subcommittee for the Lower Dolores Plan Working Group. This is the group working on a proposed national conservation area for the Dolores River Canyon. Amber, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So can you please tell us what part of the Dolores River is being considered for protection under this act?
Yeah, sure. And that's actually a good question because we don't actually have a map out. So that question gets asked a lot. The stakeholder group is considering the stretch of the river from basically the base of McPhee all the way to just south of the town of Bedrock. So we're looking basically at the River Canyon. It widens out a little bit in the Slick Rock area, and part of the reason the map hasn't been made available is that there are ongoing discussions with the landowners in the Slick Rock area, primarily because there are so many of them there. But there's discussion of including Summit Canyon and McIntyre Canyon, which are side canyons on the west side of the river. And then in addition to that, the wilderness study area would also be included and actually designated as wilderness as part of the proposal as it stands now.
The big picture being from McPhee to Bedrock.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. So that same stretch of land, what is the status of those lands today? What kind of protections do they have currently?
The bulk of those lands are managed by the Bureau of Land Management. Some of them are managed by the Forest Service, the section kind of closer in to McPhee. So in both cases, the overall management plans for those agencies are what guides the management of the resource there. Of note, certainly the river was found suitable for wild and scenic designation in the recent BLM management planning process. It was an affirmation of suitability that had been found in the 70s, but they redid that when they did their management plan and reaffirmed that. That's different than designation as a wild and scenic river, but it does mean that it meets the criteria and could be designated as a wild and scenic river by Congress. There's also actually a corridor management plan in place for the corridor. It's outdated. It was created in 1990. I think the BLM is actually interested in updating that should this effort not be successful. But since this is going on, they're kind of waiting to see what the working group comes up with.
Mm-hmm. And so this proposed protection is called a national conservation area. This is federal protection. Can you explain what that protection means, what it's going to do for those lands?
Sure. A national conservation area would be created through federal legislation. So it's a federal designation. It's a little bit different than something like wilderness or a wild and scenic river because there's no organic act is what they call them, like the Wilderness Act or the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act, that determines how those designations happen in the future when new areas of land are added to those systems. So NCAs are a little bit different. There are standard things that happen in them, including there would be a mineral withdrawal, so there could be no more leasing for oil and gas and no more claims for mining. Motorized recreation would have to happen on designated routes only. There would have to be a management plan. Those are some kind of standard things. But then outside of that framework, there can be a lot of creativity and really tailoring a national conservation area to the landscape and to the communities around it. So that was really why it kind of rose to the top as a tool that seems suitable for this area. And really the goal is to make sure the same values that are associated with wild and scenic suitability would still be protected and that there would be sort of a long-term framework set up for doing that. Some of the components that are important in the Wild and Scenic Act, actually, we've kind of pulled into to the picture with the NCA proposal, like no dams on the main stem, things like that. But it does it in a little bit of a different way. It doesn't create a Federal Reserve water right, which a wild and scenic designation would do. That doesn't come with suitability determination, but a designation would do that. So there are some water protection rights kind of built into this. And it's really, the goal was to bring the different stakeholders together and really find kind of a compromise solution that worked for everybody, but that also created a long-term solution so that we're not all kind of wondering what the story is with the Dolores. And as you know, people have been arguing and fighting about the Dolores for a long time. So it was really an effort to find a tool that could bring us all together around a solution.
Folks out there in Radio Land, if you're just tuning in, this is The River Trip here on KSJD. We're talking with Amber Clark about the proposed National Conservation Area on the Dolores River Canyon below McPhee Dam. So, Amber, you were just talking about water and the lack of a federal water right in this. Is there any change in individual private water rights that goes along with this NCA? Does this thing change any of the water rights that exist in this region?
No, Sam, that's a great question. And the answer is no. The legislation can't really do that. So the way that the water rights are really managed through the state water rights system. And, you know, there could be a Federal Reserve water right created, theoretically speaking, on the Dolores, but it would be junior to all of those rights. And nothing in federal legislation could supersede all of those existing rights. So the proposed legislation doesn't try to change any of that. The proposed legislation can't create more water for native fish or for boating because of the nature of that water rights structure in the state of Colorado. One of the really important things that I think this legislation would do if it's successful is put into implementation a plan or focus more around the native fish, but also in cooperation with the boating community, that would really look at how better to manage the existing water for native fish, and doing that in a way that feels good to the boating community. So in a spill year, for example, if there's a little bit of extra water that can be used to help the native fish out, you know, just collaborating to make sure that everybody's on the same page and doing that. The effort there would really be to prevent the native fish from being listed under the Endangered Species Act. And the legislation would link to this plan, and there's a team of people that would make recommendations to water managers. And I think that's a really huge step forward for us on the Dolores, that it's really bringing people together and all the interests and really looking at how best to manage that water. One thing that plan does is also look at what could be done with more water should more water be acquired. So there is some forethought into that, but the reality is that more water would really have to come from a business deal in which there was a willing seller that had some water rights that they wanted to sell to somebody that had money to put them to a different use, like the native fish.
So as this process has moved along, what are the big challenges that you have as a group? What are the big challenges you're facing to get this protection?
In a general sense, I would say it's just bringing so many different stakeholders together to find a common solution. The kind of hurdle that's going on right now is that the Montezuma County Commissioners passed a resolution or a motion in February in opposition to the proposed legislation, but that was actually before the proposed legislation was released, which happened in March. So because of some of their concerns and other concerns of the water community, there's currently a legal review going on, and we should have results from that by the end of July or early August. And, you know, the hope of the legislative subcommittee is that the questions and concerns will be really addressed by that, and maybe there are some suggestions that come out of that, but that the legislative subcommittee can take that stuff back and have discussions and hopefully, you know, be able to move forward with the proposal, maybe with some tweaks, and that we'll be able to bring the commissioners back on board.
Awesome. Well, Amber, thanks so much for taking your time to come in here and talk with us this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to The River Trip here on KSJD. We're on the air once a month, and we're sponsored by Dolores Riverboating Advocates. You can reach me if you want to. I'd love to hear from you. My email is sam@dolorisriverboating.org. Join us next month. We will be joined by Rig to Flip. Rig to Flip is the film production crew creating the film about the Dolores River. These guys will be in the area for phase two of their filming and interview process, and they will stop by and give us an update on their work. Thanks to both our guests today. Today's show has been produced by the immeasurable Tom Yoder. Thanks for tuning in. go out and enjoy your Dolores River safely. See you next month.